Man, I love that song. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms and turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Always enjoy the music at our church. What a blessing. Psalm 16. We'll begin reading verse 1. We'll read the entire chapter. And as we again look at our theme for the year, hope in God. And again, it's easy for us... We are in the flesh to get discouraged and just dismayed at what's going on around us. But remember, our hope is not in people. Our hope is not in the government. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've gone over that many times. 1 Timothy says that Christ, who is our hope, and that's where we place our hope. Psalm 16, verse 1 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." My trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Now look here at the rest of the verses here. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that good? Let's pray. Lord, we again thank you this morning for the opportunity to come and meet together in your house as a family. We do ask that you would be with the just those who were out sick this morning, those traveling, that you bless and strengthen them. We do pray that you would be with us this morning, that you would make yourself evident, that you'd have it behind the cross as I speak. Lord, again, help us to see and put our trust and hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've defined hope many times in the last couple of weeks, we remind you again that hope means a confident expectation. Hope is maybe not like what we think of, generally speaking, where we hope to go, or we hope the Rangers win today. You know, we hope. We don't know if it's going to happen. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation. This is just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. It's going to happen. God has promised it. It's going to happen. Our hope is in the Lord. And while we're in this flesh, while we're in this body, we better place our hope in the One who has total control and total guidance, who has our reins. Amen? Amen. We can only put our hope in Him and our trust in Him. David said here in this psalm, "Preserve me, O Lord, for in Thee do I put my trust." I put my trust in You, God. I put my hope in You, God. And while I'm in this flesh, verse 9 says, I shall rest in hope. And that hope is in God. I want to again just give you a small portion of an outline that we went over earlier in the year. And it was actually just a subtext of one of my other subplots in the sub-sub of the sub-sermon. All right? So we're bringing out the sub of the subs this morning. Now, I briefly went over this, and I said, man, I need to bring that back and go over it again. And it really was a sub-text of a subtitle anyway. But understand, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Our confident expectation, our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Why do we put our hope in the Lord? Why? But we understand that others can fail us. Why do we put our hope in the Lord? Because the Bible says He will never fail us. Amen? We put our hope in the Lord, number one, because of the price He paid to purchase that hope. The price that He paid to purchase that hope by shedding His blood on Calvary. In other words, God sent His only begotten Son into the world to save us. To save us from our sins. To save us from the wrath of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen?
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave His life for me, gave His life for you, shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says His precious blood, that blood that was without spot, without blemish, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We put our place, our hope in Him because of the sacrifice He has made for us. I don't know about you, but someone makes a sacrifice for me or does something self-sacrificing for me, it raises my confidence level in them, doesn't it? Amen. I think about my parents growing up and the sacrifices they made for me and the things they've done for me. Even now, normally getting a call every Sunday night from my dad and saying, hey, how did the week go? How are things going? Did you kill any kids this week? That type of stuff. You know, but I trust in my dad. I believe in him because of not only his loving and kindness towards me, but because of the confidence I have in him because of what he's done for me, the sacrifices he's made for me, the sacrifices that mom has made for me. Jesus Christ gave his life for me, shed his blood for me. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, the God who made the sun, moon, and stars, left the portals of glory, left the throne, left all the splendor of heaven, and became a man, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Bible says in the Psalms and in the Philippians that He humbled Himself. And by the way, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Lord of all, the Sovereign King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, gave His life for me, shed His blood for me, gave us all for me. Why do I put my trust in Him? Why do I have confidence in Him? Why do I put my hope in Him? Because of what He did for me on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price for my sins. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for me. The price, again, we understand was accepted of the Father. The sacrifice He made on the cross of Calvary was accepted of the Father. And now, I have hope of eternal life because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Why do I hope in Him? Because of the price He paid for me. The price He paid for me. I have hope in the Lord because of the promises, number two, He has made. And that gives me hope. We've touched on this some already in the last two or three weeks. But those are great and precious promises of God. Great and precious promises of God who cannot lie. Hebrews and Titus both say His promises are yea. In other words, He always keeps His promises. Hebrews says if He doesn't keep His promises, He's a liar, the truth isn't in Him, and He's not God. Hello? Again, we go back to the premise. Others will fail us. I don't know about you, but I can look back in my life and say where, even though I have confidence in my dad, there's been times where he's failed me. There's been times that I've failed him. But my God has never failed me. He has never let me down. He always, always, always keeps His promises. Why do I put my trust in Him? Because He always keeps His promises. We used this text verse earlier in the year. Actually, just early in the year in Romans chapter 15. I want to read it again. Romans 15, if you want to turn there quickly. Why do we put our hope in Him? Because of what He did for us on Calvary. Why do we place our hope in Him? Because of His great and precious promises that He has given us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." That's speaking of the Old Testament. Paul is saying all the Old Testament, all the history that is explained for us and given to us in the Old Testament was written for a time, was written for our learning, for us, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. In other words, Paul says, listen, if you look back in the Old Testament and you look back on how God provided for the saints in the Old Testament, and though Adam and Eve sinned, God provided for them a covering. God provided for them a sacrifice. Hello? Amen? If you look back in the Old Testament, He provided another seed, and we can go on and on and on. He provided for Abraham. He promised Abraham that He would give him a son, that He would give him a child, and He kept His promises, even though Sarah, his wife, had passed the point of having children. But God in His grace and mercy, God in His miraculous mercy, gave them a child. Amen? And you think on down through the line. I mean, we could go on and on. But David, and how God blessed King David, and blessed his reign, and blessed his life. And though there were issues there, and David wasn't perfect, God kept His promise to David. And we go, again, just marching through the Old Testament, we can see great things that God did for various people of the Old Testament. Joseph and Job and many of these who experienced heartache and trials, and yet God always kept His promise to them. And God always blessed them in the end. Hello? Amen? So we trust in God because of what He's done in the past. Not only in the lives of those of the Old Testament saints, but we can look at our own lives. Those who have been saved for a while can look back in their own lives and say, you know what? I see where God blessed me here, that God kept His promises to me. God saw me through this trial. God saw me through this tragedy. God saw me through this discouragement. And I came out better in the end. God always keeps His promises. In history of the nation of Israel, God blessed that nation in spite of them many times. And God gave them great grace and mercy. God was long-suffering to them. Can you imagine God speaking to them from Mount Sinai? I mean, literally, they heard God speak. They heard Him speak from the mountain. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I mean, they heard it. The Bible said it sounded like thunder. But they heard the voice of God, and they received manna in the mornings. They got up in the morning, there was bread on the ground. They just had to go pick it up. In the evenings, the quail would come in the evenings and just fill the camp up with birds. Didn't He have to shoot them? Right? Just go out and pick them up. Amen. God did those things for them. Do you realize when they woke up in the morning, there was bread on the ground? What if you walked out of your house in the morning and you walked out and there was bread on the ground? All over the ground. As the dew. Right? Instead of dew on the ground, there was bread. And you picked it up, and when you tasted it, it tasted like honey bread. You know, like those rolls you get at Golden Corral? Those rolls like you get at Golden Corral, you split them open while they're good and hot, and you take that honey butter. Oh, man. Wish I had some right now. Seriously, the scholars tell us that it's like honey bread. The Bible speaks of that manna as being angels' food. You get up in the morning and there's bread on the ground. You have about the time to have supper and there's quail all over. God provided for them in a miraculous way. They walk around the wilderness and the desert for 40 years and they're wearing the same sandals. Their sandals didn't wear out. Right? Their clothes didn't wear out. If you're simply, and they were living by sight and not by faith, right? If you're simply living by sight and you see all those great miracles, why would you murmur and complain? You woke up that morning, you had bread on the ground, and yet you say, can God provide a table in the wilderness? When they began to tempt God, they turned their backs on God. And the Bible says that sometimes God did judge them, but many times God had mercy on them. And God was patient with them. God was long-suffering with them. Why do we place our hope in God? Because we can see His long-suffering. Even with the nation of Israel, many times they deserved a lot worse than what they would get. God was long-suffering. Moses many times would stand there and say, God, listen now, they're Your people. He was long-suffering with them. Hasn't He been long-suffering with us? Right? Haven't we seen how God has worked in our lives? You say, well, I'm a new Christian. I just recently been saved. Listen, just give her some time. And you'll see the blessings of God in your life. You'll see God work in your life. And you'll be able to draw upon the past of what God has done for you. And again, we see the comfort of Scriptures, the Bible says, in knowing the history of the nation of Israel and how God blessed and kept His promises to them, and David and Isaac and on down through Joseph and David, many of them. Can we trust Him? Yes, we can. Is He faithful? Is God faithful? Yes, He is. Is He faithful? Yes, He is. Will He deceive us? No. Never. You ever talk to somebody and you just knew they were being deceitful? They were promising everything high in the sky, you know, everything. You'd sit there and you shook your head, no way. And you're not telling me the truth. Listen, God always tells the truth. He never promises things that are too high for Him to provide. Right? Amen. I could give some other examples. Again, the book of Hebrews says He is bound by His promises. If He breaks His promises, He isn't God. In other words, as we think about our hope, we think about our hope in the flesh, there it says, my flesh also shall rest in hope. We think about, again, us and our flesh resting in the hope of God. We're resting in the hope, again, of what He did for us on Calvary and the price He paid for our sins that we might have everlasting life. We're just placing our hope in Him because of the promises He's made and that He is going to keep His promises. Every one of them. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Remember, that was our theme song for a whole year as we were building this building. You know what? We just claimed the promises of God. God would see us through. We need to claim the promises of God. He always keeps His promises. And then we think about His presence. His presence. Listen, think about the promises of God, the price that He paid. As we think about those promises, let me give you a few more here. You could write down several hundred in the Bible of promises God has given us. Number one, He's promised to give us strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen? He's promised to give us life and to give us life more abundant. Abundant life. He's promised to do that. If you're here and you're saved, you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, He's promised to give you, He's promised to give me abundant life. Are you experiencing that? Claim the promises of God. Lord, You've said You'd give us abundant life. Lord, I claim the promise. I want abundant life. You realize our lives were not meant to be endured. They were meant to be enjoyed. Marriage was meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Kids were meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Hello? Are you enjoying life? Jesus said He came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Are you enjoying that abundant life? He also promised to work everything to our good, to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen. Everything. Everything works together for our good. He's promised to supply all of our needs. Those emotional needs. Hello? Those relational needs. Amen? Those needs of the physical. The physical needs. We think of Miss Carla this morning. God's promised to take care of her. Amen? They're in the hospital. Miss Doris Bundy's in the hospital. Miss Thompson's mother. God's promised to take care of her. Supply their needs. All of our needs. God's promised to supply our needs spiritually. Spiritually, He's promised to supply our needs. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised that His grace is sufficient for us in our time of need. His grace, not ours. His grace is sufficient in our time of need. He has promised that He would not allow us to be tempted above that which we were able to stand. He promised that He would not allow us to be tempted above that which we were able to stand. Let me say it again. He promised that He would not send anything our way or allow anything to come our way that we would not be able to stand in the midst of it. He has His hand on the thermostat. It may get hot. And you may get stressed and discouraged and that, but God has promised He will never turn the thermostat hotter than you can take. But will the temptation make a way of escape? Amen? That's His promises. He always keeps His promises. God's promise to give us eternal life if we simply put our trust in the finished work of His Son on Calvary. In the finished work, not putting our faith and trust in baptism, not putting our faith and trust in church membership, not putting our faith and trust in our good works and trying to be a good person. Oh, well, Brother Crawford, you know, I hope I'm going to make it. You know, I live the best life I can. I try to be the best dad, or I try to be the best mom I can be. And I believe when I get to heaven, there's going to be a big weigh scale up there. My good works will be put on one side, and my bad works will be put on the other. And if my good works outweigh my bad works, I'll make it into heaven. Get to walk through the pearly gates with St. Peter, right? No, I don't put my faith and hope and trust in my works and the things that I do. In fact, my Bible says that all of my righteousness, all of my works are as filthy rags. My faith, my hope, my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's promised that if I'll place my hope in Him, His life, His precious life, His sinless life, and His precious blood that He shed on Calvary, His death, right, and His resurrection, if I'll put my trust and faith in His works, that I can have eternal life. Put your trust in Him. He's promised. His promise, and He cannot lie, to give us eternal life if we'll simply put our trust in Him. He's promised the blessed hope of His return. We're looking forward to that day. I wish it was today. Carla wouldn't have to sit in the hospital anymore, right? Amen. Miss Doris Bundy wouldn't have to sit in the hospital this morning. Trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We preached on that just a couple of weeks ago. Amen. Looking forward to that day. He's promised that He will return for us. He's promised us that we will be reunited with our friends and loved ones. I'm looking forward to seeing my papa again. I'm looking forward to seeing those who've gone on before. He's promised, as we preached a couple Sundays ago, to give us comfort. He is the God of comfort. He is the God of comfort. He is the God of peace. In fact, He said He promised to give us that peace that passes all understanding. And when life gives you all the things that it dishes out, remember the precious promises of God. Lay hold on the promises of God. And I would tell you, as a Christian, you ought to plead the promises of God as you go to the Lord in prayer. Come boldly before the throne of grace and plead the promises of God. And you say, well, preacher, I need a job today. I'm still struggling financially. You know what? God's a promise to supply all your needs. Go to Him. And say, Lord, You promised to supply all my needs. I believe it. I believe You'll do it. And He will. Amen. Amen. Put your faith and confidence and trust and hope in Him. Not in the, you know, Star Telegram, right? Not in the want ads. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. My hope is in Him because of the great and precious promises that He's given. Why should I hope in Christ? Because of the sacrifice He's made for me. Why should I hope in Him? Because of the promises He's made, and through my life, through the history of my life, I can see how He has worked in my life. I can go to the Old Testament. I can read how He took care of the nation of Israel. I can see how He took care of Joseph, how He took care of Job, how He took care of David, how He took care of Abraham. I can see all these great things He's done and how He always keeps His promises. And then I am so much aware of the Bible. It says there, and thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Listen, Jesus Christ today sits at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says in the New Testament, He ever liveth to make intercession for us there. In other words, He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. He's there to intercede for us on our behalf. Do you realize that now? The Son of God sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and there He is there for us. As a man, and let me again reiterate, a man sits on the right hand of the throne of God. You say, well, He's Jesus. Well, He's man. He's the God-man. He's God, because only God can take all God's wrath. He is man to represent you and me. Amen. A man sits at the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and there He lives, there He sits to advocate for us on our behalf. On our behalf. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God to see that all the things are done according to His will, making intercession for us. What a wonderful Savior we have. David could rest his hope in God because of these great and precious promises. In Acts chapter 2, we see Peter standing up and preaching on the day of Pentecost. And Peter, Acts chapter 2,
And Peter quotes our text verse from Psalms 16 in his message. So get the picture here now. Peter's up preaching to a great number. We know this because 3,000 souls were saved at the end of this message. So he's preaching in front of thousands. And he's basically saying to this great crowd, he said, "You crucified the Savior. You crucified, you murdered, you killed the Savior, you killed Jesus Christ. You killed the Messiah." And he references our text verse, Acts chapter 2. Look with me in verse 25. Verse 25. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope." So think about it for just a moment. Just keep your hand there. As David is writing the psalm down, Psalm 16, he is certainly talking about his own situation as he says, "Lord, I put my trust in you." He says, all those others who are making sacrifices to other gods is nonsense and so forth. He said, "Lord, I'm putting my trust, my faith, my hope in you." But as he's writing this, he leaves his own situation and begins to prophesy about the coming Messiah. And that's the reference here. "Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." What? "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Messiah. Is David still in the grave? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So who's not going to see corruption? David saw corruption. Who's not going to see corruption? Jesus Christ. "Thou hast made him," look there with me, verse 28, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." David's dead. David wasn't talking about himself. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to set on his throne." Whose throne? David's throne. David was given the promise by God that the Messiah would sit on his throne. "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, who will not leave his soul in hell," was speaking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, "that his soul would not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised there, raised up, wherefore we all witnesses. Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith of himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand." David, in Psalm 16, was writing about our Savior, that his soul would not be left in hell, neither would it see corruption, but it would be raised up from the dead. Amen? David was saying, my hope in this flesh, my hope is in the sacrifice that the Messiah will make for us. My hope is in the promises that have been made to me by God. David said, the promises that were made to me. God always keeps His promises. And my hope is in the one who now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Boy, let's put our trust and hope in Him. All others will fail you. All others will fail you. Put your hope in Him. Let's all stand. As we sing a verse invitation, go ahead and grab your hymn books. Hymn 163. Hymn 163. Only trust Him. What an appropriate hymn for our invitation this morning. Our invitation is for you this morning. If you have a need, if this morning you are without Jesus Christ as your Savior, won't you come this morning? We'll show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. How you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you're here and you're discouraged and distressed. Won't you come forward and lay those at His feet? Claim the promises of God. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised to never put you through more than you can handle. Won't you come down and let the Lord take that need from you? Amen? And then, Christian, remember this morning, Christ sits at the right hand of God, and there He's your advocate. He's the one called alongside to help you, encourage you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the great and precious promises that You've given us in Your Word. We thank You that You always keep Your promises. We thank You that You're there now at the right hand throne of God making intercession for us. We pray this morning if there's someone here who does not know You as their personal Savior, we pray today they might get saved. We pray, Lord, that You give them the courage to walk the aisle and come down front, let someone show them. Lord, we pray for those who may be discouraged this morning. We pray they might put their hope in You. And Lord, we're glad that You'll never fail us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, Only Trust Him, hymn 163.